is up. People of the internet, it is Dave. It is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic, for another album review. And for this review...
You're full of nonsense tonight, Dave. I'm not having it. Be serious.
I can't. I just can't. Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Canadian heavy music innovators Big Brave. The band's
Canadian, you say?
I do. A band's album, A Chaos of Flowers, will be released on April 19th via Thrill Jockey.
Records.
Right. Records, yeah.
Yeah, not just a Thrill Jockey. Like, Thrill Jockey Records. Records.
With the initial seeds planted in 2012, with no other goal than simply experimenting with the instruments in their possession, Robin Watty and Matteo Ball started writing subtle, ambient, minimalistic folk songs together. After an incident where Watty's acoustic guitar broke, and having borrowed a friend's electric as a replacement, larger amps that Ball had in storage from previous bands started to get incorporated to the outfit.
And an incident where someone fucked with his amp settings. He was like, what the fuck is this?
Now with amplitude as a compositional tool, Big Brave never lost interest in the power of minimalism and fragility. It became clear that loud volume would just become as effective as the lowest possible ones, and the juxtaposition of both would become something Big Brave would still use as their main MO to this day. Gain, feedback, and amplitude are essential to A Chaos of Flowers, an album that builds on their ferocious 2023 album Nature Morte. Lyrically, the songs explore the more vulnerable of human experiences, how marginalisations manifest internally and externally, the inner struggles of isolation and coexistence in nature. A Chaos of Flowers draws on catharsis and beauty, as well as the quagmire of disorientation and othering. The album is a monument of simultaneous serenity and disquiet, a subtle maelstrom of internal life. For A Chaos of Flowers, guitarist-vocalist Robin drew heavily on the poems of artists who Robin found kinship in, their words resonant with experiences of those often sidelined by cultural norms. I discovered that most poems from folk traditions or in the public domain seemed to be by men, to which I could not quite relate. In my search, I rediscovered some of my favourite works and poets, says Watty. Watty's interpretation of poetry from artists around the world and across womanhood, intermingled with her own, examines the chaos and confusion alienation breeds in the psyche of those othered by society. Guitarist Ball and drummer Hudson help Watty shape poetry into pieces as dense and impenetrable as they are vulnerable. A Chaos of Flowers keenly reconfigures how the band utilise each element of their sound, allowing the space for loud movements to feel achingly quiet and abundant with delicate gestures. The album was recorded, mixed, and produced by Seth Manchester at Machines with Magnets, and then mastered.
I think he's changed his name to Seth Manchester.
Then mastered by Heba Kadri.
What's happening with you?
I don't know. Too much beer. The album also features guest spots from Seth Manchester. Seth Manchester on synthesizer, Tashi Dorji on guitar, Marissa Anderson on guitar, and Patrick Shiri Oshi on saxophone. On saxophone. Okay, so that out of the way, thank God. Big Brave. Were you familiar with Big Brave before, or...?
Yes, weirdly, I had... one of these ones that are just a bizarre oddity. I heard their album from last year.
Oh, did you now?
Now, I only heard it this year, and I heard it at the beginning of this year, and I heard it as... I've been getting back into Nine Inch Nails this year. Like, I've never really left Nine Inch Nails, but I've been listening to a lot of Nine Inch Nails. And one of their tracks from the previous album came up on... It was like the... Apple has this genius thing where if you listen to an album and it finishes, or you listen to just a track in isolation, like a single, what it'll do is it'll start to build a playlist rimmed what other users have listened to in a similar vein.
Yeah.
And I was listening to, it was a couple of tracks off the Ghost Volumes, which Trent Reznor did with Atticus Ross, which are essentially standalone tracks, where these tracks are built around poems on this album. The Ghost Volumes are based around the picture, so they would get a picture of something and write a song to reflect the image.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tracks came up on that, and I had at that point, whenever I hear something, I'm like, oh, it's really cool, I'll just download the album. I don't always listen to all of it, but I'll, you know, listen to the track that's popped up. I like a couple of tracks around it. So I hadn't listened to it in its entirety, but I'd listened to about two or three tracks. And it was one of those ones where, this would have been back maybe late January, early February, I was like, that need to go back and check that out sometime, but then forgetting that we review fucking 40 albums a month or some shit. That is obviously moved right out my recently added albums a while ago, so much so that when you put it in, I was like, big, but I know that name. And then I was wholly confused because the album artwork for that is basically a variation on this album artwork. It's a black background with a bouquet of flowers,
right?
And I was like, is this the same album? And I was just so confused, Dave, so confused. But yes, so I'd heard at least three or four songs from the previous album, so I was acclimated to their sound before listening to them.
Okay. I had never heard them before. So I heard of them, but never actually checked them out. And then I noticed, I think they played stereo in Glasgow last year.
Thought we had missed out on that then.
Yeah. And I think when I saw that, I thought, I really need to go and check that band out, because I've heard so much about them and I still never got around to it. And then I was like, saw the album and I was like, the new one coming, and I thought, well, now's the time, let's do it, let's check it out. That gives me an excuse to go and actually have a listen to this band. Maybe not the easiest album to put into words, but what did you think of A Chaos of Flowers by Big Brave?
Maybe not easy for you, very easy for me.
All right, okay.
Like, I have a through line for exactly how I would describe this band.
Right.
I would say, if you like Nine Inch Nails' Fragile era, right? Meets, who would we throw in there? We throw in Who Am I?
Right.
Or Iona Lee, the Swedish fucking hippie dance avant-garde musician. I would put in, it's the Belgian band with the drummer that sings,
Brutus.
I would throw a wee bit Brutus in there. I would put Healthy Living in there.
Oh yeah,
a little smidge of Healthy Living on top of that. And if you shoved that in a blender, that'd give you a Big Brave smoothie. The thing I found about this is, I think this is a hauntingly beautiful album. And I mean that in all the ways that it could possibly come out and be interpreted. I found sections of this album made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. They were so ethereal and ghostly sounding. And other sections where I felt myself, like that movie Get Out, where the guy like falls back into the black abyss. There was a whole section just where I felt like I was enveloped by their sound. And then, like, I've recently been on I do a lot of things, right? The problem is I don't really sleep, Dave, right? And you know this about me. And when I don't sleep, I get lost in rabbit holes of information on online and fucking researching. And I recently had to do a presentation at work, right? And it was to find ways of inspiring people to have a better outlook and positivity in how they approach their work, right? Which is difficult because no one wants to be at work. And I last year went to my favorite place on the planet, which was Japan. And coming back from that holiday, I was maybe the most peaceful I'd ever been, even though I'd walked further than I've ever walked in my entire life. I'd slept less than I'd ever... I came back on this kind of... like this kind of serene, like magic carpet of just bliss. And it's because of their culture, and it's all the stuff that's kind of incorporated in there. And they have a term for it, which is wabi-sabi, which You laugh now. It's called Wabi Sabi.
Okay.
And Wabi Sabi is basically the art of finding beauty in imperfections. And specifically, they have a technique called Kintsugi. And Kintsugi is the, it's all the art, they're always arts, is the art of mending broken pottery with gold. It's very, very popular now. You see these cups, like these misshapen cups, and there's like gold lines in them. And the, you know, it's a kind of thing, taking something that's broken and putting it back in an imperfect way makes it more beautiful than it would be if it was factory preset when it came out. And that's Big Brave. That's A Chaos of Flowers. It's a wholly imperfect album that is beautiful because of its eccentricities and imperfect nature. A lot of that lies in the choice and style of the volumes of discordant instrumentation that's used, which is two steps away from fucking Hans Zimmer scoring Inception. Like, you're getting sections where she is, like, kind of hauntingly and fragilely, like, emoting these kind of poetic lyrical contents. And then out of nowhere, brrr, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they come from the side. And I love it. It's textures and tones. It's, dare I say it, Nine Inch Nails. That's what Trent Reznor does. That's his modus operandi. That's what The Fragile is. The Fragile is an album which plays with, like, broken and imperfect stringed instruments and then puts it against, like, electronic noise. And what you get at the end of it is a surprisingly catchy and memorable body of work. Big Brave isn't maybe as accessible as that. A Case of Flowers, it was maybe about the third listening before I started to feel like I had a real feel for what she was doing vocally. On my first listen, I felt like it almost felt a bit like kind of like an open mic poetry session. It felt very improvised and very sporadic without any kind of grounding or root or cause. By the third listen, I actually found that there is repeated motifs. She is singing similar phrasing. She is using similar notes. But I didn't hook on to that the first listen through. And it is an album that I will say up front, honestly, if you're wanting to listen to this once and then meet your opinion on it, it's probably a fool's errand.
Yeah.
I would say at a minimum four listens. I got to six on this one. And I still feel like I've got like a really good grasp of what they're doing, but there's so much more under the hood to unpack. I want to start with the production. I think the production is phenomenal on this. I think it really handles all levels of sound, treating them equally. And you get sections where there are tiny, 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 tiny instrumentation in the background, but they are as clear and audible as anything loud and in the forefront. I just imagine a digital recording set up with about 75 layers. Because it just sounds like there's so much going on in parts. But I also love that they'll do that for emphasis, and then you'll be hit with a bit where it's maybe just this kind of weird, eerie string sound and just her kind of almost whisper singing over the top of it. It's kind of phenomenal. On top of that as well, I think they have a really, 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 really good grasp of the compositional aspect of an album, which I love talking about, where I feel like I'm being taken on a, wait for it, do a shot, journey. I feel like I'm being taken on a, cheers, Dave. Here, I feel like I'm being taken on a journey. This is an album that feels like a bit of an odyssey. It feels like you're starting off in one place, and through all these transitional movements, by the time you get to the end, you feel like a different person. I mean, the way they approach music is like a combination of almost... and now that we can place where they are in the world, Adam in France or Belgium, because she's singing in French in parts, but that now makes sense. If they are Canadian, maybe possibly towards the French quarter of Canada, which would make even more sense when you think of the indigenous tribes over there, which would then explain the elements of songwriting here, where things do move into folk territory, but specifically more on Native American folk kind of stylings, or the scales and tones we associate with that. It certainly fit within there. they mix that in with ambient noise, noise rock. I'll say industrial. It's industrial minus the drums, but it's industrial synth. And it's like a texturized pattern of music. They're like, I felt when we talk about being able to like visualize colors when we listen to this one. Yeah. It's interesting that the album artwork is a bouquet of vibrant flowers. Because this is like it's a vibrant sounding album. Mm. Like you feel like certain sections you're getting hit with warmth and kind of oranges and reds. And then other tracks are quite cold. So you get these kind of light blues. And then other bits are devoid of color. There are whole sections in this album where you're hit with these very abrasive metallic tones that feel like life has been drained out. And when they bring the instrumentation back in, the warmth comes out. It's fascinatingly done. Really, really, really clever. It's hard to talk. The hard thing for me is to like pick out a single track and say, this is the this is the track. Like, I can't imagine how you'd release a single from this at all. Because I don't think any one song on this in isolation does the album credit. It's it's a whole piece. So like, don't listen to singles, listen to the whole album. The movements are fascinating, the music is fucking wonderful, and I was kind of floored. The stuff I'd heard before, this seems bolder and bigger. So the three songs I'd heard before, it's not a million miles away from it, it just feels like there's more confidence there. There's more exploration of space and sound and time. It's about 40 minutes long. It's 8 tracks in length. The songs, very few tracks that are under the 4-minute mark, maybe one or two. Most of them are over 5 minutes. Some edge into the 6-minute territory, but I think they all merit their length. There's no one song on this that I think overstays its welcome or overplays a technique or a style. And it's difficult to find a hook on any track. It's difficult to find a grounding point. And I kind of love that about it. This is an album to get lost in. And every now and again, I want to listen to something that I get lost in. This is fucking awesome. Like, I'd like, can't stress enough. This is 100% my jam. This is like you couldn't have picked a better album for me to sit down and listen to. It's the one that I've spent the most time listening to because it merits spending the most time listening to it. How about you, Davey Boy, never hearing this band before?
Well, funnily, a few things that you said actually were quite interesting because, as I said, I never listened to the band before, so I did listen to the previous album, Nature Morte, and like I got to the end of that, I was like, wow, like what have I let myself in for with this? Like, I found that album quite difficult to get into. I only listened to it once, and as you said, these types of albums from this band are like one can't listen do just one on doesn't it. Really do it.
Yeah.
However, I found this album way more accessible than the previous album. I finished the first track on the album on Chaos of Flowers. I like immediately stopped what I was doing, and I was like, right, let's take these shitty little earbuds out of my ears right now.
Yeah, I only listen to the music on the good headphones. Yeah. Like now, just as a matter of course, I can't do the buds anymore. Big headphones.
I was sitting at work, so I had my and I was like, no, fuck this.
I'm get surprised the big... you could concentrate in anything at work while listening to this.
Oh well, Duncan. big headphone case came out, the big headphones came on, because this is an album you're going to want to hear every fucking detail of this album.
Detail rich.
It sounds incredible. If you've got a good set of headphones, get them ready for this album. When I Felt a Funeral starts, the first track, it is very minimal. It is just vocals, bits of like ambient, echoey, experimental guitar. But it builds and it builds into something enormous. Mm-hmm. Like this wave of distortion hits you, and it's weird. It's not even like a metal guitar distortion.
No.
It's like part kind of doomy, but kind of part kind of droney. But if you imagine that the gain of a guitar turned down, so it doesn't have that like busy kind of feel to it. And the size of it just like engulfs you. Like there's so much bottom end from that kind of rumble that comes in. Like when I was listening to it on my headphones, it was almost giving me that feeling of like a really deep itchy eardrum, you know, when you get that. And I was like, the ones you can't reach with your finger, you know, you've got to make like a weird noise to kind of itch it, you know, in one of those.
I never make that noise. Oh, yeah. I get one of those cotton buds that the doctors tell you not to use and jam it right in there. just try to get your trauma. Remind me of, like, I know I mentioned Nine Inch Nails and you fucking hate when I do it because you're a Nine Inch Nails hater and I'm working on you, and that is my mission this year, is to completely convert you. Yeah. The reason I mentioned The Fragile is there's a song called, and it's really early on in the album, maybe track two, it's called The Day the Whole World Went Away. And there's a section in the middle of that where the track's been relatively quiet and serene, and then you're hit with this guitar which has an effect on it. You're like that's not a distort, I don't know what that is. And it is there. It's like so much in your face and so abrasive and out of left field. And then the track from that level becomes this completely different entity for the last 2 minutes that run through. And that was like, as soon as I felt the funeral finished, I was like, that, oh, we have The Fragile, ladies, in fact, which once again puzzled me as to why you picked it. Right. Well, like, Dave's treating me, what does he want?
Nope, just
so you were like you were itchy ears making noises,
and then the vocals kicked in, like with everything going on at once, and it was like, this is magical. This is like it's weird. It reminded me in a way of House of the Rising Sun. This is a slightly slower pace than that.
And not the movie starring, which is just Rising Sun, Sean Connery. Sean Connery, Wesley Snipes. But what are we doing here?
But the tone and some of the chord progressions were quite similar to that song.
That's where I got the kind of Native American thing, because it's kind of bluesy meets Native American. It has this sort of thing where you're like, I see where you're coming from.
But it's like an introduction to this album, and the first track on the release, it sets the bar like super high. I was like, okay, this is like, whoa, this is some start to this album.
You thinking to yourself, that bar's so high that they'll never be able to better it.
Yes, I was actually. I was thinking, this is like
peaked.
Yeah, peaked too soon. It's worth knowing that the Big Brave don't really do fast. They don't have really like multiple speed settings, unless you include like slow and really slow as like multiple speed settings. And you'd think like a whole album,
first gear and a half.
You would think like an album at that tempo, like, Is that not going to become like really?
Well, it's doom, isn't it?
Very much so.
And for all intents and purposes, this is a doom tempo album.
Absolutely is, yeah. And it completely works. And the reason it works is Big Brave are masters at kind of luring you in and then giving you exactly what you want to kind of hold you there for the rest of this album. And it's very intoxicating. You mentioned a few different kind of bands and artists there. The one that you didn't mention that I thought you were going to mention.
Oh, go for it. King Woman.
Exactly.
I did think of that at the back of my head. Why didn't I mention King Woman? It does have a King Woman. Has very much a King Woman vibe about it.
You know, like, they're stylistically different. But a lot of the things I felt when I was listening to Celestial Blues by King Woman, I felt when I was listening to this. Celestial Blues is different in its kind of arrangement. It's got a different goal, but the massive atmosphere, the textures on the album felt in a kind of similar vein.
Yeah, like, both vocalists in these bands could literally just read you the instructions on how to make a paella, and you would be completely like, this is the most invigorating, intoxicating vocal line I've heard this year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, like, A Chaos of Flowers isn't really written to give you like these big hook-laden choruses, but there are lines that Robin will hit out on this album, and it still hits you like a ton of bricks. But it comes across in a very like poetic kind of lyrical style, which I really enjoyed. There's also tracks on this where they do go a bit deeper into that experimental side of their sound. Track three, which is in French, Chanson pour mon ombre.
Oh, Dave, I love it when you speak French. I just got a wee cop twitch.
I think it's Song for my shadow in English, if you know that makes things easier. It's sung completely in French, and doesn't really, like, it doesn't have like a form as such. Like, it feels very in the moment, like quite freestyle kind of musically.
Oui.
And then Robin's kind of adding her very, like, again, very poetic kind of vocal style over the top. But I thought that was really good. I liked those types of tracks really kind of break up the album.
And that's what I was talking about in terms of composition on it. Like, you get two long form, big, sloggy, huge, weighty, atmospheric tracks. And then they're like that break time, something like a change of pace.
Absolutely. If you take it, like, going from that track into like Canon and Canon, you can hear the difference in the two tracks. Canon and Canon has more of a shape to it. It's very slow and, you know, it's building kind of momentum, but it eventually builds to a kind of climax over that course of like 5 minutes. And it's, you know, it's deconstructed and it's ethereal for large sections, but when they do increase that like pressure and like build into that crescendo, it's like, oh, it's like so warm and fuzzy feeling. Like, it's just like, it is like the press release said, it's massive minimalism. And that's like, it, you know, that covers that perfectly. It's as serene as it is dense at times, with a, like a vocal layer of vulnerability that just kind of hypnotizes the whole time you're listening to it. Comparing it to the last album, the songs on this album are actually shorter than the previous album. And I think that's what kind of sold it to me. I found it more accessible because of that. I think the last album is quite daunting. You've got like big 9 minute tracks on that. So for someone that's never heard the band before, it's not the easiest thing to consume for like a non kind of drony type, like loving metal fan. But the way they've constructed this one,
an arsehole is what we call them.
The way they've constructed this one, the tracks just feel like they blend much better from one to the next. It just really flowed this album. Like, the flow in this album compared to the last album was just much more easy to listen to. And I listened to the albums back to back, and I much preferred this release, even though like the last album I think is probably heavier in places. I thought
I was talking about that refined sound. I will go back now and listen to the previous album, but listening to this one just felt more weirdly more focused but free.
Yeah
If we're just going with like oxymorons here, this is a freely focused album, which is like hugely minimal.
It's just I thought like dynamically and texturally, it felt more imposing than the last one, even though it was heavier. It's probably a mood album as well. I think I need to be in the right kind of frame of mind to listen to it, and that kind of frame of mind for me was kind of late at night. There's something very relaxing about putting this on when it's dark and everything is really calm, especially with that production, which is just phenomenal. Like,
it's like definitely, I cannot stress this enough, that like whoever, like you did mention the name, who did the production on this?
Let's go back. So it was Seth Manchester.
Seth Manchester,
and then
she's a man, baby.
Recorded, mixed and produced by Seth, and then mastered by Heba Kadri.
This is like that no easy task because of the sheer amount of instrumentation here, but they've managed to craft something which is
incredible.
Fucking phenomenal.
I think it really is. Without this production, like, this would be a completely different album.
It'd be much messier, much sludgier, I think.
I think that the production is one of the highlights for me. I think it adds even more personality to this album. As you kind of said, it's difficult to kind of articulate tracks, you know, individually, even though it's not like an overly technical album. Like, usually when I'm reviewing something, I tend to kind of try and break down all the elements and then kind of analyze them. But with this release, it was like it was more of an overall kind of feeling that I had when I was listening to it. It's very immersive. And like, I'd highly recommend this album. Like,
yeah, it's the same way I came out of this album feeling the same way I came out feeling when we listened to that 40 Watson album.
Yeah, yeah.
But absolutely. I came out and I just felt like I was in tune with nature. I was, you know, one with the subconscious mind of the universe. We were all connected and at the same time, all brothers and sisters in one commune together, all living life. Yeah, it's one of those, like, I talked about that wave of euphoria that I felt coming back from, like almost a two-week holiday in a foreign country on the other side of the world and just feeling at peace with myself.
Yeah.
This is the closest I've got to a sensation of coming out of doing something that made me felt the same. It really is. It's a transformative, hypnotic album. And yeah, you need to ask me now the question you need to ask me so I can get off my chest.
Duncan, what's your score for A Shape of Flowers?
It's a 5, dude. It's a big old 5. It's an easy 5.
Easy.
I'm loving 2024. Right? Like, 2024 is giving me everything. Like, I mean everything. Mm. It's like, I already have a bunch of 5-star albums and none of them sound alike.
Yeah.
And I keep wanting everything to keep going this way. I want boundaries. Like, there are no boundaries. In a chat thread today, I mentioned to Young Ross that I feel like music rule books are being ripped up this year. And that's what I'm wanting. Let's just keep moving those boundaries further away until there are no boundaries left. Yeah. And A Case of Flowers is a shining example of what can be achieved when you don't limit what you are going to do as artists. And instead, you feel the sound and let it take its course. Yeah, that's fucking great.
I will concur with that, Duncan. It is a 5 from me as well. This is like such a unique sounding album. Like, how many bands can you say sound like Big Brave? Like,
I had to name about 6 bands that collectively together sounded like Big Brave.
Exactly. And they only seem to be getting more dialed into that individuality.
We need to see them live. I did not know they came across last year. We will not make that fucking mistake again, and we sit down and interview them.
Yes,
I want to know more. I need more. You know, when you watch Starship Troopers and when you watch that, like, they show you something that says, "Do you want to know more?" And I'm like, yes, I want to know more. Yes. That's the same way I feel like on A Case of Flowers. Like, when the album finishes, I feel like it's saying to me, "Do you want more, Duncan?" I'm like, yes, I want to know more. Like, so let's find out. Let's make it happen, Dave.
Let's do that.
You make it happen. You do all the work. I'll track the jokes.
Big Brave, A Chaos of Flowers, out on April 19th on Thrill Jockey Records.
Thank you.
Links below to the band, to the pre-order. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Have a listen. Do yourself a favour. Big headphones, remember. Have a listen. That is the review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Kind of wish that flowers had come out. We'll do what we can.